I just add my words of welcome to every one of you this morning. Good to see you in the house of God, especially on this very difficult Lord's Day. And it's good to see Joelle and her family with us once more, and others who are visiting. We welcome you cordially in the name of the Lord. We do extend our sympathy to Brother Richard on the tragic death of his sister this past week. And as the Bible tells us, we mourn with those that mourn, we rejoice with those that rejoice. We rejoice with Ian and Chelsea at their marriage yesterday in Greenville, South Carolina. Not only do we have a number of people away from the church because of the vacation, but we have a number away because of the wedding. But we're glad for all of those who are here, and we trust the Lord will bless. We're going to turn to the book of Acts this morning, the book of Acts chapter 7. And we'll commence our reading at verse number 48. Acts chapter 7, reading from verse 48 down to the end of the chapter. We're breaking into where Stephen was speaking to the people and making his defense and presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 48 of Acts 7, he said, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as he saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? For they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said thus, or this, he fell asleep. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee this morning with heavy hearts. And yet, our Father, we rejoice that in times of adverse tragedy, we thank thee, O God, that there's no sweeter refuge than the throne of grace in prayer, and no more blessed comfort than the word of the living God. We ask you, O God, now that as we turn to thy word, that thou would help us to understand, O God, we've been singing, that we may be in the better land before we fully understand. But our Father, we pray today that thou would give us at least an inkling, that we might understand the things that have happened unto us. We thank thee that Paul was able to say they have happened rather for the furtherance of the gospel. And Father, we pray now thou would close us in with thyself, defeat the devil in every attempt to steal away thy word, and grant, O God, that thou would bless and encourage and comfort thy people. And Lord, for any who know not the Lord, O God, may they realize that, as has been said already, that we know not what a day may bring forth. And so, Father, we pray that they be ready for that day whensoever it would come. And, Father, we pray that thou would save them by thy grace. We ask thee now, Lord, to speak to us, not in the empty eloquence of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of God the Holy Spirit. for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Friday morning, I was working and preparing a message for this morning on birthdays. Birthdays are generally happy times, unless, like me and some others, you have too many of them. But birthdays generally are happy times. And what I was going to speak about today were three birthdays. First of all, the national birthday, because it was 145 years ago today that Canada was put together as a nation. So I wanted to talk about that and about the blessings the Lord has given to us in this land. And then I was going to talk about our congregational birthday, because it was on the first Sunday of July, 1976, that the first Free Presbyterian Church service was held down on Cosburn Avenue in East York. That's 38 years ago, so today is our birthday. And then I wanted to speak also about the most important birthday of all, and that is the spiritual birthday, where the Lord said, ye must be born again. And every one of us needs to be able to look back and say, yes, I was born again of the Spirit of God at such and such a time. So that was my intent, but then we got on Friday morning the tragic news of the murder of our brother, Brian, and so we had to change the tactics right away. As has been read to you, Dr. Saunders, I've been in communication with him. He says, if there's ever a time we need to lean on Romans 8 and 29, it is now. All things, no matter how tragic they may seem to be, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this situation, the murder of Brian and the two other security guards, whom we understand were believers, this murder raises a lot of questions. And the most obvious question is why? Why would that happen? Because here's a young man, and he's serving God. He was helping to lead the work down there in the absence of our missionary. He was helping to lead the work down there. He was a choice young man, and we greatly enjoyed his fellowship and his ministry. Why would the Lord take him away at this time and in such a tragic manner? So that question hangs upon our hearts. And we think of what the Bible says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Why did not the angel of the Lord watch over Brian? Why did he not keep him and keep him safe in the face of these enemies who came and attacked him? So that's another question. What happened? Has something gone wrong with the will of the Lord? Well, these are questions that come to our minds. And as we think of them, let us first of all remind ourselves that the only answer to questions like that comes from the word of the Lord, comes from God's word. You can do what you can to help people, to encourage them, to explain to them what you think has happened. But at the bottom line, we've got to come to the Word of God, and that's where we get the answer, and that's how the Lord helps us to understand the things that to us at the moment are very hard to understand. So I want to come to God's Word, and I read to you for a reason from Acts chapter 7, which of course is the martyrdom of Stephen. Now, Stephen was the first martyr of the Christian church, the fledgling church. He was the first martyr, and so we wonder exactly why would God allow such a man to be taken away? And as you look at that and read the word, you'll begin to understand now the situation that prevails in Jamaica. And do pray for our folks there, because they'll be having their first Sunday service in about another 20 minutes. It's going to be the most difficult service they've ever had in their 20-year history. So pray for them. Pray for Richard, who has to, I presume, preach the word this morning, and pray for the people that the Lord would put his loving arms of comfort round about them. Now let's look at the circumstances surrounding the death of Stephen. It happened. It is a fact of history that it did happen. And when did it happen? It happened in the midst of his service. Because you look in the previous chapter, chapter 6, and you'll find there was a dispute among the early disciples about the widows of the Grecians. That were Jewish people who become Christians. They used Greek in their worship for of God. That there's a dispute about who was looking after them, were the Hebrew widows getting better attention. And so they decided to put together a committee of deacons and get them together and appoint them to look after this matter. Stephen was appointed deacon, and I think if you read the context of chapter 6, you'd have to say that he was the first among seven equals. He excelled in service. He was a helper because the apostles, they wanted not to waste their time dealing with the mundane matters of the church. They wanted to get on to preach the word. And so Stephen is one of those who shouldered the burden and helped at that time to strengthen the work of God. And the Bible tells that Stephen, he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you look at the credentials of this man, you would say, well, surely, such a man was definitely needed in that fledgling church. And what we say of Stephen, we can say today with regard to Brian Morris. Brian was in the work there from almost the beginning, which is almost 20 years now. And he came as a young teenage boy, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and then began to use the talents the Lord had given him for the ministry of the Word of God. And I've been down there, met with him on several occasions, went with him on several occasions to the schools that he was speaking at and to the seniors' homes where he was speaking. And he had a talent for ministering the Word, although he had no formal education. So the Lord had blessed him, and he was a worker, and did a tremendous work. And also, I think it was my wife, taught him how to play the little keyboard, and he provided the music for the congregation down there. I don't know what they're going to do this morning, but Brian, he was the one who provided the music, preached the word, and was a very pleasant personality, the sort of fellow that endeared himself to the congregation. And so the question comes, well, Lord, why? Here is a young man who has been used of thee and who, as far as we can see from the human sense, is essential to the work in Jamaica. Why, O Lord, would you take him away? Well, the Lord took Stephen away in his day, and he's taken Brian away, and we have to progress and find out why that happened. And then also Stephen was taken away when he was most needed, because the infant church in Jerusalem needed a man like Stephen, a man who's full of the Holy Ghost and with power, a man who was able to shoulder some of the burden of the other workers, the apostles, to ease them so that they could focus on their main task, which was to preach the word. And so Stephen, he was greatly needed, and his work allowed the apostles to go and work in other fields. So the infant church certainly needed a man like Stephen. And why would the Lord take him away? Surely the Lord would need him on the ground in Jerusalem to do the work that had to be done. Now, Brian is similar. Brian is needed, or is needed in the work in Jamaica. That he, as I said, preached the word, taught, had a very good rapport with the children in the schools. And what a blessing it is that in Jamaica, the public schools invite us to come and preach the word. Whereas in this so-called enlightened country of Canada celebrating its birthday today, we could not go into a public school because they've banned the Bible, they've banned the Ten Commandments, and they've banned the Lord's Prayer. And you can only open a Bible in a public school here along with the scriptures of some other religion in a comparative religion sense. So Jamaica had the door open, And Brian had a tremendous rapport with the children. I have been there. I have seen him. I lead the meetings and speak to the boys and girls, and he had a tremendous rapport. And also, he labored under different missionaries. We have had a succession of people who have gone down to Jamaica giving leadership, most notably Paul Fitzsimons, because he was there for the longest, for three different periods. And he taught Brian a lot when he was there. And when Paul went back to Northern Ireland last year, then Brian and Richard, they shouldered the burden of the work. And so Brian is desperately needed in Jamaica. But today he's gone. And we ask, Lord, why should you take him when he was most needed? In the case of Stephen, Stephen's death was brutal. He was surrounded not by sympathetic believers to encourage him. There was nobody there to sing a psalm or a hymn to him to encourage him. There was nobody there to pray with him. He was there in the midst of a howling mob of enemies who were determined to destroy him, to destroy Christianity, and to put him to death. And so he was surrounded by the violent actions of devil-possessed people. Because, you see, the work of God is advanced by the work of the Holy Spirit. And those who oppose it, they are motivated not by the Holy Spirit, but by another spirit. And so Stephen, he was stoned to death. And you put yourself in his position and try and understand what it is to have stone after stone rain down upon you, some causing light pain, some hitting the vitals, until finally Stephen lay down, and as the scripture says, fell asleep in death. The same with Brian. Just the same. You see, he was not surrounded by the friends in the Jamaican work. Those dear elderly ladies who are a credit to the work down there. Those many young people that he had fellowship with, he was not surrounded by them, but surrounded by at least two who were avowed enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because not only did they put their hand against one of God's servants, they put their hands against three of them, two women and a man, and the three of them were stabbed to death. And one of them at least received a gunshot wound. Awful, awful, tragic, violent death. But the Bible tells us that Stephen, he fell asleep. He fell asleep in the Lord. And Brian and those two girls, one of them was 41, one was 31, and Brian was 33. On Friday morning, at the hands of wicked men, they fell asleep in the Lord. But what an encouragement that is to us. Because all of us someday are going to have to die. And sometimes people live as if they're here forever. I'm sure Brian, last Friday night, had no notion of the fact that the countdown had begun and he was going to hear the call from the Lord Jesus, come up higher. But Brian died, laid down his life in a most brutal, awful, horrible fashion. But the thing to notice is that in Stephen's case, despite the howling of the mob, despite the gnashing of their teeth, despite the storm of stones that rained down upon him, it's obvious that Stephen fell asleep in the peace of the Lord. Because he looked up and he saw heaven opened, he tells us, and he saw the Lord. And The scripture even tells us that he fell asleep. Why? Because the Lord was there. You see, the scripture tells us that God gives us grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse number 17 or 18. And you'll find there tells us that we're to come to God and he will give grace to help in time of need. He'll give us help when we need it. When we're sick, he gives us grace. When we're troubled, he gives us grace to face the trouble. When we're anxious, he gives us grace to face the anxiety of the day. And my friend, he also gives us dying grace. And so when the moment comes that we have to die, the Lord, he dispenses that essential grace to help us and to bring us safely through. And I would venture to suggest that as the stones rained down upon Stephen, he never felt one of them because of the grace of God with him. And you think of the awful death by stabbing. I would venture to suggest that Brian never felt a thing because the Lord gives grace. He gives dying grace. And great peace have those that love thy law. Stephen died in peace. And I believe that Brian likewise died in peace. In our case, we try to identify what must it like to be stoned? What must it like to be stabbed? What must it like to be shot? But we haven't had that. This is something that Stephen knew, that Brian knew, and they knew also the presence and the power of the Lord. Stephen also was freed from all earthly cares. The church work is not easy because the devil is always fighting against it. The devil hates the Lord Jesus. He hates the church of Jesus Christ. He hates the word of God. The devil detests the work of God. And I can tell you, he detests the work in Jamaica. Over the number of years, we have come to several occasions where we felt, or we're going to have to close this work down. But every time the Lord wonderfully opened the door and the work has continued unstopped for this past almost 20 years. So church work is not easy. Stephen was aware of a dispute that was over the Grecian widows because that's the very thing that led him to become a deacon in the first place. So he was aware of that. He's also aware, too, of the opposition because it says in verse 9 of chapter 6, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians. And don't miss that. Here's a synagogue of the Libertines, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia disputing with Stephen. Cilicia, who was born in Cilicia, a young man called Saul of Tarsus. And it would appear that Saul of Tarsus was a member of that synagogue that raised the opposition to Stephen that led to his ultimate death and demise. So now Stephen on his death is freed from all the cares. He didn't have to worry, what will the widows do now if I'm taken away? I was appointed in office. What will the widows do now? What will the apostles do now? Because I was helping bear some of their burden. What will they do now? He's not worried because the Lord has called him up higher. And Brian faced the burden of the work in Jamaica. He acquitted himself way well. They had their high days of great blessing. They had their low days like anywhere else. But Brian now is freed from any further care. He's with the Lord. And we who are left are the ones who must now care for the widow and the fatherless. So he was freed from all his cares. And here's a point we've got to get. And that is that Stephen died victorious. Now, if the enemies, they hurled their stones, they hurled their words at him, they hurled their venom at him. And as Stephen lay down in death, no doubt they thought that they had won an honorable victory. But they didn't. They were the losers. I remember a story, I think it's told by Matthew Henry's father, who in, I think it was Scotland, was robbed. And he was met by someone who said, "Thank God I was robbed today." Now, who in the right mind would say that? And the person says, "Well, what do you mean, thank God I was robbed today?" Well, he says, "Thank God that when I was robbed, I didn't have all my money with me. Thank God that when I was robbed, they didn't kill me. Thank God when I was robbed, they didn't hurt me." And then he said, "Thank God especially that I was not the robber." And today you think of what happened to Brian, and you think of his death and those characters who murdered him and the two girls. They may well think that they have won a victory, but they haven't. They are losers. And even if they do escape the rigors of the court in Jamaica, there's a day of judgment when they'll have to face Almighty God for the awful crime that they have committed in killing three of the servants of the Lord God. Now, the word Stephen is a word that means crown. And Stephen, he was crowned by Almighty God. He saw the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. And then the Lord took him home to be with him forevermore. And so Stephen was the victor. And those other ones, the stoners, they were the losers. And in Brian's case, he died, but he was in death the victor. Because the Bible says, and Paul himself said it, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Oh, the death in itself was awful. It was tragic. But I can tell you, Brian would not want to come back today because he's now in glory forever with the Lord. I want to close off by just looking at this question, the question of Stephen's death. How come Brian was killed? In the case of Stephen, how come such a valuable asset to the church was taken away? Surely, of all men in Jerusalem, Stephen was indispensable. A man greatly called of God. But then, in history, you think of a young man, Robert Murray McShane. 7-year ministry and died at 29. McShane, one of the most godly of men that the world has ever known. And yet at 29, the Lord took him home. And again, the question comes, why? Back in 1969, I looked at my pastor in Seattle, lying on our kitchen floor, unconscious, blood everywhere, as he was murdered by a man in the church. And I cried at that time, Lord, why? Why would a man who's a preacher, why would he be killed? And so these questions come and we have so little to answer. But there is an answer. In the case of Stephen, the work of the church did not stop. Now these people who stoned him, they wanted the work stopped. They want to stop him and they want to stop all the rest of the disciples and the apostles and so on. Wanted to stop them all and stop the work. But they didn't, because the work of God went on from strength to strength. And I can tell you today that the work of God in Jamaica, despite this awful setback, the work of God in Jamaica will go on, because we have enough experience in this past 20 years to know how that time and again the devil brought it right to the brink, and God always stepped in and blessed. And you know the old statement well, that the seedbed of a church is the death of his saints. So watch out, because the work in Jamaica will not stop because Brian was taken away. And then we learn the lesson that no man is indispensable. That you look at Stephen, on the face of it, indispensable to the fledgling work in Jerusalem. The Lord took him away. You look at Murray McShane, you'd say that surely if a man was indispensable, this godly man was indispensable, but the Lord took him away. And if we look at the work in Jamaica, we say, well, surely Brian's work there was indispensable, but the Lord has taken him away. So we learn, we spoke last week about Niagara and the man walking over it. Just think of Niagara. You go down to the falls today and you see the falls and are excited by the wonderful view of the cataract and over the gorge. But you go down tomorrow and the falls you see is not the falls that people are looking at today, because the water has gone down the gorge and down into Lake Ontario, and as fresh water is coming down, the Church of Jesus Christ is just the same, because God raises up his people. And then they pass through time, as the hymn says, time like a rolling stream bears all his sons away. And also, we learn too in the hymn that in life the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. So I have to learn that man is indispensable. He's not indispensable. The Lord can take him away and does very often do that. But there's always a purpose, because God always has a man. You see, standing at the stoning site of Stephen was a young man. Tells us his name was Saul. Probably about 30 years of age. Probably a member of that synagogue where it tells us there those of Cilicia were members of it, and Paul was from Cilicia. And so you look at that, and here's this man standing there, and he's looking after the clothing of those who are throwing the stones at Stephen. He wasn't actually throwing the stones. He was watching and listening. And you study the life of the Apostle Paul, as we've been doing in the Bible class, and you will find that Stephen had, even in Paul's unsaved days, a tremendous impact upon the life of Saul of Tarsus, because later on you'll discover the very first recorded message of Paul the apostle in the book of Acts was almost a carbon copy of what Stephen said to these men just before his stoning. So you see, why did Stephen die? Stephen's death had a tremendous impact upon the man that God was going to use for the future. And Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, became Paul the preacher and himself persecuted for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take back in Seattle again. We look down upon our minister. I was an eyewitness of the murder. And I said many times, Lord, why? Why did this man come in with a gun and put our brother's life to an end? Didn't have to wait long. 4 days. I had a good job in Seattle and Boeing. The European people. Was quite happy to stay there for the rest of my life. But on the 13th of January 1969, an observer, I was an observer, the Lord called me into the ministry. And Dave Brown, before he died, he read the first 11 verses of Philippians. And the 12th verse was that he did not read, but we read it later. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the things that are happened unto me. They are happened rather for the furtherance of the gospel. And it was through the death of Dave Brown that I was called into the ministry. So while the Lord took Dave away, I was put into the breach. And I'm confident that as Brian has been taken away, God will work. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Saunders read to us an email from a young man in the Jamaican congregation who has expressed an interest in going into the work as a minister and a preacher of the word. Whether it be he who is already saved or some other young man perhaps in the congregation who has not yet come to Christ. But I know that God works out his sovereign will. And in Jamaica, something is going to happen. You can be sure of that. After we returned from Seattle and I began the study of the ministry, I was over in London and walked through Westminster Abbey and saw there the memorial to John and Charles Wesley. I've never forgotten the words on their tombstone. God buries his workers, but carries on the work. Brian has been buried or will be buried, but the work of God will continue by the hand of the Lord. And so, while we mourn his passing, we mourn the tragic nature of it, we know that he is today with the Lord. And we do know that the Lord is going to do something in Jamaica, the like of which we have never seen before, because when God takes away a choice servant, he will follow it up by another one to do the work of the Lord. So now, our expectation is 2012. What will happen? Let's pray. Pray for the funeral services. We're not sure when they're going to be because the bodies have not yet been released because of the investigation. Don't know when the funeral is going to be, but when it is, pray that souls will be saved, that Brian will slay like Samson more in his death than he ever did in his life. And pray that God, from that little congregation, would raise up Murray McShane, George Whitfield, John or Charles Wesley, that God would do a mighty work. So why? God works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, this has been a sad meeting this morning, and yet, Lord, we do resign all things into thy care and into thy keeping. We know, Lord, that thou dost make no mistakes, and that word is true. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We ask, O Lord, that thou would overrule to thy glory. Bless, Lord, and strengthen that suffering people down in little London. And we pray, our Father, it not be long till we hear the good news that God has moved in a mighty way. And Father, we pray that thou would do thine own sovereign will. Should there be any souls here this morning that know not the Lord, O God, we pray that they'll learn the lesson that thou dost not know what a day or an hour, a minute or a second will bring forth. O God, we pray that they may be able to say with Brian, it is well with my soul. Hear this our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.